Who's Talking on Richmond Sports Radio 910. Diehard Wahoo Frank Maloney and former UVA basketball standout Jim Hobgood break down the Cavaliers each week by bringing you inside the game and behind the scenes with all-star interviews and classic Hobbo humor. Who's Talking is brought to you by West End Orthopedic Clinic, Richmond BMW, LeClaire Ryan Law Firm, TGI Fridays, the UVA Bookstore, The Saber, Carpool, Virginia Athletics Foundation, Captech Ventures, Richmond Allergy and Asthma Specialists, Lemaire Restaurant at the Jefferson Hotel, Kelleher Heating and Air, and the Mark Foss Brown Team with Keller Williams Realty. Now, Who's Talking is on Richmond Sports Radio 910. Here's Frank and Jim.
Good evening, Wahoos and ACC sports fans. This is Frank Maloney with my trusty co-host, Jim Hobgood. Well, Hobbo, the UVA men's basketball team made a nice comeback down there in Tallahassee, but they lost. It was a well-fought game. The UVA women's basketball team, on the other hand, won a four-overtime thriller late last week against North Carolina State, longest game in ACC women's history for Virginia, and then edged number 11 Maryland over the weekend on Sunday night at the Comcast Center up at College Park. Many of the other college Cavalier teams have big weeks ahead. We're glad that you've joined us tonight.
That is indeed the case. This is Hobbo. We have an exciting show lined up for you tonight. We say that often, but it's really true tonight. We are delighted to be joined momentarily by former UVA guard, standout, star, whatever, those are all appropriate, Richard Morgan, who's now the head coach at Bluefield College. We'll have more on his introduction in a moment. Later, at the bottom of the hour, we will have UVA head baseball coach Brian O'Connor to preview the upcoming baseball season for, once again, a baseball team at Virginia with big expectations. There are several ways you can follow the show, and Frank will outline that right now.
Who's Talking is streaming live on sportsradio910.com and thesaber.com. All of our previous shows are archived on thesaber.com. And we encourage you to go to Facebook as well. Just search Who's Talking and become a fan. Your questions and comments are always welcome. Following Richard Morgan's visit and Coach O'Connor's visit, we're happy to answer any questions you might have or even relay them to our guests.
Well, as Frank indicated earlier, Virginia, another tough road loss down in Tallahassee where the game they started well, and then Florida State had a spurt toward the end of the half, went in with a double-digit lead at halftime, and Virginia made a second-half comeback, which fell short, but I think they did get it back within 3 points within the last minute. So they got it down to a one-possession game. Sammy Zaglinski, who I think is getting back to full strength now, played pretty well. Joe Harris made some contributions. Unfortunately, Mustafa Farrakhan didn't have his best game. So Tony Bennett trying to figure out a way to get all his shooters hot on the same evening. So we hope that will happen this week against Duke and Virginia Tech at home. At any rate, the game against Duke, 7 o'clock Wednesday night, and, of course, Virginia Tech in town Saturday at 1 at John Paul Jones Arena. So we'll go ahead and maybe go straight to the introduction of our first guest, Richard Morgan. As we said earlier, a standout guard for the Virginia basketball team from 1986 to 1989. His senior year, as Frank said before we came on the air, averaged 20-plus points a game his senior year for a team that went to a regional final. I had Brian Stith on last week, and I think I'm right in saying we've only had four Virginia teams go to regional finals, so that makes you a distinguished team in Virginia basketball history. Richard, after leaving Virginia, played professionally for a couple of years and then got into coaching. I think he's been at East Carolina, at Hampton, most recently at Appalachian State before taking the head coaching job at Bluefield College. This is his second year at Bluefield. Richard, are you with us?
Yes, I am. How you doing? Good morning to everybody.
Well, good morning, and I should take that opportunity to point out that we are pre-recording the show such that Frank and I can go to the Duke basketball game Wednesday night in Charlottesville, but the other advantage of that is we've had an opportunity to get Richard Morgan on the show. We might not have been able to do it during normal evening practice time, so Richard, nice to have you with us. We just, you know, the one question I might start with And we asked Bryant this last week, and I think I sent you some emails, and it may have miscommunicated what I was trying to say. But, you know, that first game in the NCAA tournament in 1989 against Providence, the final score was 100-97. Now, you know, what Bryant said is that we had Richard Morgan and his offensive skills, and that's the reason there were so many points scored. But it just seems odd to me that, you know, NCAA games anymore seem to be 60-58. What was the difference back in that era versus today?
Well, I think that what you saw in that game was two teams that came in that wanted to play in those, you know, 60-58s. But I think what happened was once we got in the game and we start pushing it up in the floor – and at that time, they were pushing it really, really fast. And, you know, I think Coach just figured, okay, let's just try to match them and try to outscore them, or, you know, at least try to defend a little bit and you know, get the stops when we can. And it just turned into a track meet, and we ended up putting up a lot of points that day.
Just a quick follow-up, and then I'll let Frank jump in here. But it just seemed, from my perspective, college basketball has really gotten into the slower pace or tempo. And just from my perspective, I'm not sure that's necessarily in the best interest of college basketball. How do you explain that, or am I right in saying that?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think what everybody says is in February and March, you want to be a half-court team that can execute on the offense as well as execute on the defensive end. What you have now is a lot of teams that put their, you know, put all their emphasis on, you know, let's get to February, let's get to March. You know, March Madness, and I think what we're creating is instead of a up and down style where people like to play and shoot and, you know, run up and down, I think what you're getting now is a lot of guys are coming in now and saying, okay, I'm gonna take away this, I'm gonna take away that, and then you're gonna have to adjust and try to see if you can still score that many points. I just think in February and March you got to be able to defend and stop people, and at the same time I think you got to go down and score. But I think you can take some time off that clock, and let's be honest here. I mean, the shooters are not like they used to be. You know, the offensive guys are not the way they used to be. There's a few here and there sprinkled throughout the country, but I don't think pound for pound or the scores are not the same as they were back when I played.
Richard, this is Frank. Glad you could join us today for tomorrow night. Looking back at your career at Virginia. You entered in 85 and you got to play with Tom Sheehy and Andrew Kennedy and Olden Polonese and Tom Calloway, who transferred from ODU, and Mel Kennedy. And then over the next couple of years, some players rotated in, such as John Crotty and Kenny Turner and so forth. Talk a little bit about some of those guys and how you guys came to work together, and then ultimately how it came together, because your senior year, your team really had an extraordinary season, going 9-5 in the ACC, and obviously, as Jim pointed out, going to the Southeast Regional Final. So talk a little bit about how that gelled and how you guys built a team.
Well, I think, you know, I started my freshman year when I got there. Tom Sheehy kind of took me under his wing and, you know, tried to show me the ropes of how it's supposed to be when you're a leader. Olden Polonese did the same thing. We spent a lot of time together off the court just trying to, you know, get to know each other. Andrew Kennedy, what a great guy to have on your team. He's a perfect teammate. You know, Tom Calloway was just a guy that, you know, was plagued by a couple injuries, but still played his butt off when he had to. And a guy you got to mention that kept that whole practice squad going and the games and everything was Anthony Solomon. I thought he did a good job of taking us young guys on his wing and motivating us every day to go out and play hard against the Tom Sheehys and not to be intimidated about the Olden Polonese's. And I think what that did was that taught me how to be a leader when it was time for me. But at that time, it was not my time. It was my time to learn and to be involved with some, you know, with some great, great basketball players. And I think what you got out of all that was a team that was built way back my freshman year that went into a situation where we were able to you know, jump in there and play well down the stretch senior year. You know, we was at Vanderbilt, we was at Rupp Arena. I mean, we was at great places. But I think what we had is we already had everything set up to where, you know, we didn't have to worry about each night, not the night out. We were we were always ready to perform because of we were always ready to perform because of the, you know, the situation that we had put ourselves in years and years before that, building that team. So I did have a John Crotty who came in that was an excellent teammate, who was very highly highly talented, and you know, was able to and help us. And I thought that was that led to us getting Brian Stith, who, you know, obviously we know he was a terrific player, and I think it just, you know, was kind of passed down. The torch each year was passed down to the next group of guys that would have to be that natural born leader. And that's what you don't see on a lot of teams now. It's not a lot of leaders, it's not a lot of passing of the torch, but you see it in the big programs, the Dukes, and you see it in the Carolinas. They pass that thing down, and it's hard to explain it. It's definitely hard. You can't teach it on your team. It's just something that the players have to be mindful of, and they have to understand that this is the way that we have to perform every night in order to not get embarrassed, and everybody's going to give you their best shot when you're a team that's been winning for many, many years.
Richard, obviously your coach had a lot to do with managing the team as well, just to say the very least. Terry Holland, what a great guy and what a great coach. Talk a little bit about the impact he had on you, both as a player and now obviously the impact he must have had on you, because now you've taken up the profession as being a head coach.
Yeah, I think, you know, once again, it goes back to, you know, teaching the young how to do it later. I didn't know at the time that I would even get involved in coaching. But Coach Holland really, you know, he's a Virginia gentleman. And I think that was the nice thing I liked about him and the program and how he carried himself. And, you know, we really watched him closely, you know, because he was our leader. I mean, all in all, when it comes down to the last day, you know, it's all about, you know, just starting at the top. And he was always the leader, and he was the emotional guy that he didn't show a lot of emotions, but he meant it just the same. Even though he sat over there nice and calm, he pushed us in practice to be better. He pushed us every day to work hard, and he gave us great values to be good men once we finished college and went on about our lives. And, yep, you know, you can't say enough about him and his staff. I mean, his staff was fantastic. I mean, Dave Odom, what a great guy. He came to every game for me, which you could do then. And, you know, he showed that he, you know, the love is what I saw from him. Is we still talk, and, you know, Coach Larnega, you know, he's doing a great job up there at George Mason. And then we also had Tom Perrin, who could break down any tape, any team, and tell you everything about him. He was going to live in the locker room. And then you had Jeff Jones that was on that staff as well. And, you know, he's doing well at American. So, you know, we had a great staff, a great core of guys that showed us the way. You know, we also had some quick stints of Craig Littlepage, who's now the AD up there. And, he did a great job with us too. Everybody brought something different to our team the whole time I was there. And the coaching staff was one of the top coaching staffs, obviously, because now they've gone on and been successful.
Yeah, I was just not to interrupt you, but I was just sitting here thinking between Coach Holland, Coach Odom, Coach Larnega, and Coach Jones, there are a lot of W's among those four guys.
Yeah, we was taught how to win there. There was no question about it. And, you know, I think, you know, you can't ever overlook your staff is very important. And you know, you got to have guys that's willing to stay in there and work the long hours. And, you know, it's not a lot of glory in that. You know,
Richard,
behind the scenes stuff never gets talked about. But, you know, at the end of the day, when you go up to Rupp and you win, and you go to Vanderbilt and you win, then people, you know, recognize your hard work. But, you know, they have been working years before that, too. So, you know, it's not just that year, but, you know, they worked every year up to that.
I tell you what, rather than give you a question and have to go to break, can you hang with us for a couple of minutes? We got to take a quick break, and we'll return with Richard Morgan, if that's okay.
Great.
We'll be back after these messages and continue our visit with former Virginia star Richard Morgan. Hey, welcome back to Who's Talking? Jim Hobgood, Frank Maloney. We're visiting with former Virginia star Richard Morgan. And Richard, we probably should. I know we said in the introduction you're the head coach of Bluefield College. Tell us about your team and how the season's going for you.
You know, they spoiled me last year because they brought me in, and we went out the first year and won the league. my first year, so I thought it was going to be like that every season. And obviously, I'm finding out this year without, you know, without the horse, it's hard to do. You know, you can recruit all you want, but if you got a guy in your program that's, you know, is that stud or that star, it's a little bit easier, and you look a little bit better over there coaching when you got a guy that's very talented and the best player in the league.
So what you're saying is,
you know, this year we've had to learn how to play without him. I think, you know, that's the biggest thing our team's had to do is try to learn how to play and how to be consistent without him, because he did so much for us. Now, a lot of stuff he did maybe didn't show up and always in the stat sheet, but he kept a lot of things down for me and, you know, life easy for me. And now, you know, I've got to do some teaching and some coaching and that kind of stuff to these young guys that we brought in, only to hope that, you know, next year it'll kick in at some point and they'll put some more W's up. But, you know, we're right now, we're 10-16. We're 5-7 in the league. We've lost, I'd say we lost five games by two or more. Two or less. Just last second shots, or, you know, get a stop and don't make the free throw. They go down and make the free throw. So we're going through a little growing pains this year. I only have one senior. I had one senior last year. So we're looking for big things for this group for next year. But
yeah, it sounds, you know, like a lot of head coaches, your hair is probably starting to turn a little gray.
Yeah. My wife's really, really shocked at how quick my hair turned gray, you know, this year versus last year. And like I said, whenever you got studs and stars, it's hard to you don't have to worry about a lot of Grecian formula.
Richard, this is Frank. Question for you. As we normally do, we'd like to go take a little stroll down memory lane, and we were wondering, what was your favorite moment as a Cavalier athlete?
One of my favorite moments?
Yes, sir.
I think that would have to be, you know, everybody's going to want to say the Carolina game, because obviously it's 39 in U-Haul and it was bananas in there. But, you know, my game was Maryland, my home, my last senior game, you know, having my mom and my dad there and being able to go up and thank them, you know, right at the end of the game when I was taken out. I think for me that always going to be my special game, even though Carolina obviously was a more you know, points-wise, it was a better game, and you know, it's just for as far as the atmosphere. But I thought the Maryland game was just a kind of a thank you to them for what, you know, what they put up with for the whole 4 years. And, you know, it was never easy. It was always hard. And, you know, they always showed a way to get to the games. And, you know, that's the big thing, I think, for kids now is, you know, mom and dad, you know, play a big role in their career. I think it makes everybody a little bit, you know, it goes a little smoother, I think. And, you know, I never could call home and say, hey, you know, this is too tough, I'm coming home. You know, mom wasn't having that. Dad, when they suck it up, get tougher, boy. And, you know, my dad, the joke between he and I was, I'm here for another semester. So, you know, I think it was the support from them, and that was my way of thanking them for, you know, always throwing a couple bucks here for a pizza or a couple bucks for you know, a different you know, the different, you know, things that you got to do in college to move on. So, you know, I thought that was more of a memorable game for me, and we won the game, so that, you know, that always helps too. But
that was that was March 5th, 1989. You scored 34 points in that game, and I do think fans forget how well you played in that game, because the Carolina game was such an extreme thriller with all those shots you hit. You had J.R. Reed chasing you all over the court, and I think fans remember Dean Smith getting the speeding ticket, of course, trying to leave in Albemarle County. Do you remember that?
I remember that.
Somebody made a copy of that and faxed it all over the Commonwealth. But Richard, those were extraordinary games. You also had a 31-point game against Duke your senior year.
Yes. It was the same week as the Carolina game. And, you know, it's just one of those things when you get in that groove and get on the roll, I mean, that's what can happen. And then, you know, fortunately for me, it carried over into the NCAA tournament, you know, going down to Vanderbilt and, you know, knocking down 66 and two games down there, and then, you know, coming back home and then going back, you know, to Rupp and, you know, beating Oklahoma. I mean, it just carried over. But I really truly believe that, you know, the league games is what helps you do well in the in the NCAAs.
Well, Richard, we're delighted you were able to join us in this case this morning. We wish you really, really good luck in your coaching career. I know that's going to turn around starting next year, and we got to have you back on again. We're out of time. The one question I want to know is, how come Roanoke, Virginia, produces so many shooters between you and Reddick and Curtis Staples? You said earlier some guys can't shoot it anymore. They sure can't shoot it down in Roanoke, Virginia.
But, yeah, I think we was going to rename that Shootersville and have that whole area called Shootersville because all the shooters come out of there, and so did J.R. Reynolds came out of there, too.
Well, that, I can't believe I overlooked him. Yeah,
four guys that came from there that could really shoot the basketball. So I think we need to invest in trying to rename that as Shootersville.
Well, that's right. And I think you and Coach Bennett both need to recruit some players from Roanoke, that's for sure. But at any rate, Richard Morgan joining us for the show this morning or tonight, depending on when you're listening. I guess you'll tonight when you listen to it. But at any rate, Richard, thanks for sharing some time with us.
All right, thank you for having me, and I look forward to coming on again.
Absolutely.
Take care, Richard.
Former standout Richard Morgan. We'll go to the bottom of the hour break and return with head baseball coach Brian O'Connor.